You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O, RG Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer. The one, the only, the fresh off of a fantastic photo in the blue bonnets I saw, Tony Casillas. Tony, how you doing on this Monday?
Well, pardon me real quick. I wish I was feeling better. I think both of us are a result of the allergies blooming and everything. And yeah, I had a tremendous weekend in Austin. Yeah, you saw the pitch. My wife and I had a chance to go down and visit my son and spend some time in Austin. I'm actually able to watch the Dell match play. What a tremendous weekend being able to watch that. But I wasn't prepared for the elements. It was damn right cold. And on top of that, fighting the allergies and everything. You have to take a picture. That's one of those must pictures you got to take in the blue bonnets.
Of course. It did get surprisingly chilly in the area over the weekend. I had to go to my cousin's daughter's birthday party, and we were outside pitching washers, and all of a sudden it just was freezing. And we had a long Sunday with the San Antonio Commanders getting wrecked. You mentioned you were at the Dell match play, and I wanted to wait till we were recording to send you a text. So peek behind the curtain. I'm sending it to you right now.
Okay.
And there are some cleats that Jordan is going to release next Monday. The Monday of Masters Week, and I wanted your full, authentic reaction while on the podcast, because I think that it's going to be great.
They're bad. I love them. $220, you know, I may spend that on golf shoes. Those are cool.
They're sick.
Yeah, without a doubt. Those are sick. Those are cool.
We are getting close. I'm sure we'll dabble in some Masters talk next week. I'm very excited about that. What did you enjoy about the Dell match play? Austin Country Club.
I've never been to Austin Country Club. I'm just so amazed at the topography and in Austin, just the hill country. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of California. You have all the houses nestled in the hills, and it's right there on Lake Austin. And I was just amazed at the undulation, the elevation of the greens and the course. And I like the course because all the holes are parallel to each other, and you can go from, you know, watch several holes from like a different tee box. Yeah, I mean, it has a lot of characters. First time I've actually been in that part of Austin. I mean, I've been out the Westlake area, but that golf course is unbelievable.
It's a great little spot. Westlake, shout out to Drew Brees, obviously, Nick Foles. And, you know, I was actually talking to a family member about this at the birthday party. Do you know who Drew Brees' cousin is? With what it has to do with Austin Country Club and everything that was happening over the weekend?
I know Ben Crenshaw, but they wouldn't be cousins, but right. I'm going to go somewhere, in the Longhorn family, maybe Mac Brown that Ben Crenshaw whole tree.
You're not wrong, with the Longhorn connection. His cousin is Angela Atkins. You might know her better as Angela Garcia, the wife of Sergio Garcia.
That's right. And, yeah, she's a UT grad.
Yeah, so she went to UT. I believe her grandfather either coached or played quarterback there, something like that. So Azalea's mom, Azalea Garcia, is Drew's little niece or second
kinda
cousin. Kind
of tie that
somehow
into the Masters next couple of weeks.
Totally.
You know, I don't think it was a good week. It kind of reminded me of Sergio Garcia. I think he was saying something in Spanish, and I don't think they were good words. Kind of like when I was growing up, the only Spanish I knew was the bad words all my dad, my uncles were talking.
Yeah.
But I think his ball had a hard time finding the fairway.
Seriously. So bad weekend for Sergio. How's your bracket looking after the Final Four is officially set?
Well, you're not going to believe it. I actually am doing third place in my group. In 93%, I actually have two teams in the Final Four, which
Tech and who?
I have Tech and Virginia.
Right on.
So there you go. Out in North Carolina, they're out, but I guess I didn't do as bad as the other guys that they're in my bracket.
So you've still got a shot to have the championship game too. I mean, you've got one on each side. So
yeah, I do.
Look at that.
It looked pretty bleak there for a while. And you know, give you a shout out to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a tremendous game against Michigan State. And then on the flip side, you have Auburn, which has never been in the Final Four, correct?
Correct.
And so it's going to be a tremendous Final Four, and I'm excited. And I mean, stranger things can happen. Here I am, have a chance to win my bracket. At one point, it looked really, really bleak.
Hey, that's the way March rolls. So, Tony, Masters coming up. I'm very excited. Final Four is set. When you hear those things, you typically think NFL news is kind of slowing down around that time of year. Last week, we did have the owners' meetings out in Arizona, an important little announcement of sorts. At the end of the week, we heard from your former teammate and friend, Michael Irvin, who had posted on Instagram that he was getting checked for potential throat cancer. He talked about how his father had had that and died, I believe, at the age of 51, which is incredibly young. Announced on Sunday morning, Tony, that the results are in and that there is no cancer, thank God. So very, very good news for the playmaker.
What great news. And I'm like you. I read the post and I saw pictures of him and Emmett and Troy. They were together over the weekend. And just someone who's gone through it with my wife, who is a breast cancer survivor. I mean, who hasn't been touched by cancer? But anytime you have something suspicious, where the doctor says, okay, we need to get a biopsy, then you start thinking about the worst case scenario. So tremendous prayers for him, and just so glad that it it didn't come back as cancer. So all the prayers and everyone that sent out to Michael Irvin, I think they were all answered. Great, great news for the playmaker.
You mentioned the photo of the triplets over the weekend. We posted that on the BTB social channels. It was four people in the photo, the three of them, and Mike Tyson. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the three of them take a lot of photos together. Have you ever seen them take one with Mike Tyson?
I haven't. I did not see that one. And there you go. That's a great photo op. I mean, anyone who has a chance to take a picture with Mike Tyson, I mean, I arguably one of the greatest fighters besides Muhammad Ali, but just more known for Hangover. I mean, that's a selfie moment there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's, well, I think I know what our listeners would prefer, but if you ask the average sports fan, would you rather have a photo with the triplets? Like, you could be the fourth person in that photo, or a photo with Mike Tyson. I feel like non-Cowboys fans would have a hard time deciding.
I don't know. I think that you're probably your allegiance and you're crazy and you remember the 90s and how great the triplets were. But this Mike Tyson, for what he represents and just the elusiveness and the controversy and just how great a fighter he was. I know, I guess I took it for granted. I played with those guys for so long and had pictures with them, but I think Mike Tyson would be would probably be a go-to selfie I would like to make or be in a photo with.
Right. Well, you know, good for them then. They got that picture with Mike, all ears intact, so good for them. So it is April Fool's, Tony, and everybody is going for the low-hanging fruit. But something that was not a trick last week, the Cowboys, right after we finished, it's like they said, okay, RJ and Tony are done with the 750. Let's make a move. And you texted me as soon as it happened. Robert Quinn acquired by the Dallas Cowboys for a 2020 sixth round draft pick, essentially a 1 year, $8 million deal for a 28 year old pass rusher who has never finished with less than 4 sacks in a season, led the NFL 6 years ago. That's a pretty solid little get-up they got.
I was excited when I heard the news, and I think you and I thought that it would be kind of imminent, that maybe a deal would get done, and I think everyone else was hoping, considering the situation with their defensive ends, and to be able to add him with, I'm sure, soon-to-be-signed DeMarcus Lawrence, you got to be excited, because it's kind of hard to add statistics like that. If you can get a guy that can get you 8.5 sacks and the upside would be double digits, I mean, there's not too many guys out there. And to be able to get him at $8 million and what they had to give up, I think it's a win-win situation for both of them.
It is something that just makes so much sense. And sometimes when you say something like that, it makes sense for the Cowboys because they get a pass rusher, for the Dolphins because they're unloading things and obviously looking for the future. Sometimes you hear it just makes sense to everybody. That's when things don't happen. So it is nice to see that get done. And that, in a weird way, gives me a sense of calmness for the DeMarcus Lawrence situation, because people were getting antsy, Tony. Why haven't they traded for Robert Quinn? Why? Well, because just things take time, you know what I mean? And so I do feel like the DeMarcus Lawrence situation is taking time, but I haven't lost any faith that will get done eventually.
No, I said this last week on our broadcast. I think it's going to get done before the draft. I mean, that's my gut feeling. And I think the Cowboys really want to see these two dudes together, because – if you look at the situation, the potential, I think, you know, with the Cowboys where they are now, this is probably the best time they have to make a run at it. You know, the season, you know, the changes and, you know, the free agents they added with Randall Cobb and just some of the changes they made. They bring back, Jason Witten. And so there's a lot of good things, a good vibe going on. And you add someone really that's been in the league and hasn't had issues, and I think the biggest thing is you can trust RJ and someone like Robert Quinn. Mm-hmm. He didn't fit in the system, obviously, at Miami. But I think that really there's got to be more of a sense of urgency on both parties, DeMarcus Lawrence, but even more so for the Cowboys. Yeah, they're business, and they're not going to overpay DeMarcus Lawrence. But just the given the fact that these two guys together line up, I think it can really, really vaunt their really good defense that they had last year.
I agree. It is hard to have a good defense, you know, in consecutive years. We've learned that. But there's only reason to believe that, you know, the Cowboys are trending in that direction. Byron Jones was announced last week that he did get hip surgery. I mean, I've never had hip surgery, but, you know, you've had your bumps and bruises, Tony. Is that something to really be worried about? Or is it, you know, hey, you know, you got it done in March. That's plenty of time to get well, get rested before training.
I'm not really concerned about that. I mean, Byron Jones was a story in itself. And I think now you have so much time in the offseason to get it done. And I think he'll be sound by the time he really, really needs to be ready. Mm-hmm. And it's just a part of just making some precautionary things and not letting it linger. I think that's the thing with surgeries. You got to look at the big picture and the longevity of it. So no, I'm not really concerned. It's probably orthoscopic surgery, which we know orthoscopic surgery these days is not a big deal.
Right.
So I'm not really concerned about it.
You you touched on Jason Witten a moment ago. Did you see that photo circulating across the internet over the weekend?
Speaking of text messages.
Yeah,
totally different look.
So, you know, to kind of put this whole thing in perspective, Jason Witten's first Monday Night Football game, he had a head of hair that we had not seen in a long time. It was a different shade. You know, a lot of people at the time thought it was a toupee. I thought it was like, what is it, Rogaine? Like that's, I thought it was something like that. Like I thought there were some supplements involved.
If it was Rogaine, I've tried that before, and my hair hasn't progressed like that.
Well, I'm saying is I thought like it was stimulated actual growth, though. I thought it was actually his hair or like extensions or something.
Like a transplant or something.
That's what I thought. I did not think it was like a toupee. Looking at what we saw in the, and you know, hey, look, if the guy's comfortable, you know, and living life, good for him. I mean, you know, that's really all that matters, but.
Hey, I'm not the one to critique someone about hair. You look at my hair, but yeah, it, all of a sudden it kind of vanished.
We have never seen him like that. You know what it felt like back when, I mean, it was a long time ago now, when Dirk first shaved his head. Remember when he went from having the long locks to just, I mean, just completely shaved? Right. I mean, it was startling. And I don't know. I mean, Witten has obviously, I think, surrendered to the fact that people are going to mock him and whatever in his return to football and whatever. He's going to have to put up with stuff for a little while, a little bit of fallout. And the internet just dunked all over him, Tony. I mean, it was like a flashing sign that said, I wore a toupee all of last season.
But it's hard for me not to laugh. You know, you got to embrace, and he's a good looking dude, regardless if he has hair or no hair, but it didn't look natural when you saw him. Excuse me. really, I'm really aware of making, I'm not trying to make a joke about someone that may not have a full head of hair. I mean, you have one, you're younger, but for someone that has hair envy, even at my age, to be able to see that, I mean, it almost looked like he took it off.
Yeah, like he ripped it off.
Whatever he was wearing on Monday Night Football, he decided, I'm going to take it off, and you know, I'm not out in public.
You know, my last thing on this, and I'm not at all saying that I'm, you know, I've got flowing locks of hair. I mean, my haircut every other week is just a buzz.
You got
cut.
You got a head full of hair.
But you know, he was like almost totally shaven. You know, like left like 20% on. I don't know.
There was nothing on top, though. It was kind of like you had the hair on the temples and the horseshoe look.
Right. So, but my thought is, at that point, just go bald. You know what I mean? Just lean into it. Just go the whole way. I mean, don't go 9 yards. I mean, just go the whole 10, because if I think that would look better than, and you're right, Jason Witten's a good looking cat no matter what, but I think that would look better than what he's currently got on. And I don't know, I haven't worn a football helmet for work. I imagine it'd probably be nicer if you don't have hair in the way.
Well, I know this. I know that helmet, they used to say you keep wearing a ball cap, but if you keep wearing that helmet, all of a sudden that hair gets a little thinner. But here's my whole thing, and this will be my last comment, the joke about it. For some reason, that's the first thing I thought about, because he had all this hair overnight. And it, you know, to me, it almost looked like a comb over. And I'm thinking, I wonder what he's going to look like when he takes me in now. Is that what we're going to find out?
Right.
Whether that was natural or not. And then we see the picture and I'm like, that answer our questions.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it is something that everybody understands. The guy was on television. Everybody understands that if you're going to be on television, you want to look good. But good for Jason, man.
I feel like him and Tony Romo, his BFF, have something in common, that they both are the bulk of jokes. You know, with Romo, I mean, he couldn't do anything right when he threw an interception. Mm-hmm. You know, all the social media, the reaction, the negativity. Now, you know, the whole deal with the broadcast and now the hair and everything.
Yeah.
Seems like he's the bulk of all the jokes and everything. So I think maybe he knows what Tony Romo felt like when Tony Romo was playing.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, I thought that was partly why he wanted to get out. Because before he this started, Witten was not that guy. You know, he was poised. I mean, you know, he was never wrong. You know what I'm saying? And he went from that. You know, Romo went the other direction.
They're never being scrutinized.
Yeah, Romo like went Romo. Romo went the right direction. He went from nobody appreciates me to now everybody loves every single thing I do. Witten went from Mr. Perfect to just like this oaf, you know, that just couldn't do anything right, always left-footed, whatever. But let's move on, because goodness gracious, what a photo. Anyway, you also talked about Randall Cobb. We ran a poll with SB Nation's Fan Pulse tool, Tony, last week, and we asked people to vote on whether they thought Randall Cobb was an upgrade over Cole Beasley at slot receiver, because obviously the Cowboys have had some options there, you know, with Cole Beasley moving on to the Buffalo Bills, and by options, I mean they had to figure something out, but they brought in Randall Cobb, 1 year, $5 million deal. And about 68% of people, almost 69%, believe that Randall Cobb is an upgrade. How do you feel about that?
I agree. As much as I like Cole Beasley in the story, and I think I said this a couple weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, whenever Cole Beasley signed with the Buffalo Bills and the Cowboys inked Randall Cobb the one-year deal, said people are going to forget about Cole Beasley, because Randall Cobb has history as a receiver in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. I think he adds a little bit more to the slot. He can do a lot of different things that maybe Cole didn't do. He's bigger. And then his history of playing with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and him having his success in the playoffs. And I think that really adds a lot to, you know, he's obviously going to have to produce, and we'll have to see his relationship with someone like Dak Prescott. But I think that with everything that he's done, and if you watch him, and you know, he's a consummate professional, I think that that's really not an argument.
A very quick sidebar. While this, again, we like to tell you the truth here on 750, how the sausage is made. While we're talking to Tony, Tom Brady joins Twitter. He's officially on Twitter. And his first tweet, appropriately, on April Fool's, "I'm retiring. In my spare time, I'll be tweeting." So that's how he joined the Twitter sphere, Tom Brady.
Obviously, that's pretty good.
He's a huge brand. This is, you know,
he's really calculated. He, you know, I follow him on Instagram, and you know, he's pretty, I mean, I like his posts, but yeah, I think that's pretty cool on April Fool's Day.
Yeah. It's a great way to announce your Twitter account. And it's a silly joke, obviously. But it's a good way to launch the account, and you know, let's put an over under on it. Today is obviously Monday, April 1st. Let's say at the end of this week, by Friday at 5 p.m., how many followers does he have? I'm going to say 700,000.
I'm gonna go the over. I'll say 1 million.
So you think he hits 1 million in a week?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Twitter, I think it grows exponentially because of just Twitter, and a lot of people are on Instagram. I would say more people are on Twitter than Instagram by far. So yeah, I'm going to say 1 million.
Okay.
That's not a lot for the GOAT.
I mean, I don't know, man.
I mean, a lot of those followers could be his wife, Giselle.
That's true.
She's got more followers than he probably will have. So yeah, I'm going to go the over on that. Well, at least 1 million.
It is hard. I always find it amazing, like when you look at like average NBA players, and those guys will have over 1 million Twitter followers, and yet, you know, you look at NFL superstars and they won't. So it just kind of speaks to how popular sports are worldwide. But
he may have that many today.
I don't know,
just
man.
Just by that tweet right there he just sent out.
Well,
everybody's going to be talking about it. It's going to be, you know, all the news outlets, everyone that has a huge Twitter following and social media following, they're going to retweet that. And it's just going to grow and grow. It's going to be like a fire.
So he is, in a matter of seconds, he jumped. I'm not going to, not to brag or anything, but when I got there, he was at 49 followers. I was his 50th follower. No big deal. I was there before anybody. I got in before it was a bandwagon.
I think maybe I need to go on and follow me. I'm saying it's probably jumped to 100 by now.
It's at a couple of thousand. So if you get get in right now, you're still one of the cool kids.
You can tell everyone you were the 50th follower of Tom Brady when he first came on Twitter.
Yeah. Dad, what was it like to be Tom Brady's 50th Twitter follower? Yeah. I tell you what, son, it was a great day. But anyway, back to Randall Cobb and Cole Beasley. I do think that Randall and Cobb are different. I think they have different strengths. I think Cole is quicker, to begin his route than Randall. But I think that Randall is better after the catch. I think Randall is better at stretching the field vertically. And I think that now, at the point the Cowboys are at offensively, where Dak Prescott is, I think he needs Randall Cobb more than he needs Cole Beasley, which inherently makes the value that Randall brings more, which makes him better with specific regard to the Dallas Cowboys.
I think Randall Cobb is probably a better route runner. I think that just because he's a bigger in stature, I think that's a plus for probably someone like Dak. And I think you brought up a good point, yards after catch. I mean, that is such an intangible thing to have as a wide receiver. And I think he has a capability of breaking it anywhere on the field. And I like the versatility, which you need. You can use him as a runner. And the physicality, I think, is a big difference for me. And I think he's multifaceted when he's able to, you know, run different routes. And I think he can add a lot more to this offense. And he can sometimes, while Amari Cooper is the number one receiver, now you had Randall Cobb. And I think he can do different nuances of this offense when it comes to running different routes.
So let's play this game while we're on the subject of, you mentioned you take the over on Tom Brady's Twitter followers. He's not at he's not at 1 million yet, so I know you're disappointed. But
I said by this week. Let's be real.
let's play over, not really over, but just kind of comparing the two. Who has more receptions in 2019? Randall Cobb, the Cowboy, or Cole Beasley, the Bill?
Randall Cobb.
So I think Cole has more receptions, personally, because I think he's going to get a lot of dump-offs and you know, just kind of
garbage
stats.
Well, yeah, that's a good
stats.
Point. And you look at their number one receiver, and you look at their quarterback and their type of offense. Yeah, I could probably go there, but I think we'll be surprised how much Randall Cobb may or may not touch the ball. I think more may, because just what he can do. And maybe sure. maybe more of a crutch for Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how many snaps, you know, Jason Witten's going to get. But, yeah, I could say that. I think they'd isolate a little bit more in Buffalo on Cole Beasley. I can see that.
That's the only thing I would take Cole Beasley. Right. I think he finishes with more receptions, but I think Randall finishes with more yards and more touchdowns. And by more touchdowns, I think he has like four and Cole has like three. I mean, I don't think either one of them
close.
Are gonna, but so that's an interesting game. Our last thing on today's episode, Tony, speaking of over-unders and what have you and whatnot, an interesting list was published with regard to all 32 NFL teams. CG Technology released their NFL over-unders as far as win totals. Mm-hmm. So the highest projected team, the most wins are projected for the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and his brand new Twitter account with 11. So cool. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Rams, the New Orleans Saints all projected at 10.5 wins. So that is also interesting. The Los Angeles Chargers are the lone team to be set at 10 wins even. But after that, it's when it gets a little contentious, and that's where some things are interesting. On the NFC side of the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears both set at 9.5 when it comes to projected wins. When it comes to the Eagles, 9.5, you've taken the over or the under in 2019?
That's kind of on that threshold. And I think and you look at 9 wins, isn't that like the third in the National Football League? I mean, not everyone's I think we kind of get seduced by the 10 and 11, maybe 12 wins, and ask, well, it doesn't happen that much, right? So with those two teams, I think you can realistically say the over on 9.5. Now, I think you got to look at the NFC East and really the competitive teams in that division. I would say the over on that. I think the Eagles have the capability. And I think it all comes down to health and, you know, how the things evolve. I mean, when you look at Carson Wentz, but I will say they're over on the 9.5 for those two teams. I think Chicago's going to be really good.
Sure. Chicago is interesting, certainly. But I don't know. I mean, the Eagles at 9.5 is tough. I think that's fair. But the Cowboys have been set at 8.5. So they've got a lower over-under than the Eagles. Number one, do you think that's fair for the Eagles to be ahead of the Cowboys? Number two, would you take the over or the under on 8.5 for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, the way the Cowboys got there last year, that was just amazing. How they – well, they had five wins in a row.
What was it? I mean, I think it was eight. I already forgot. I think it was like eight wins in a row. I mean, they were three and five. I think it was eight wins in a row.
Eight wins in a row. It was a lot of wins. Now, if you look at it, are they going to go that way this next year? I don't know. But I think they got to look at that. And it's always find it interesting how they handicap these different teams. But I would think the Cowboys would be much better this year if they figure out their problems on offense. And it seems to me they have, you know, a lot of really good things coming back. I mean, they get healthy guys. You get their best, their all-pro center. They add another piece, again, in their offense. I'm going to go the over on that. I think the Cowboys will at least have 9 wins next year.
So, first of all, my mind is broken on this April Fool's Day. You were right. It was 5 wins in a row. I don't know why I thought it was 8.
Yeah, I was like, 8 wins.
This is a total.
I'm going to say I have been taking a lot of cold medicine, but I do know that 8 wins is.
I'm going to blame Monday because I immediately thought about it because they were 3-5. There was no way they could have had 8 because they finished with 2 wins.
It was 5. 5-4, whatever it is. Right. That was still their situation they were in the second half of the season was remarkable.
I don't know how you and I could forget specifically, or me rather, because it was that 5-game gauntlet. We literally defined that 5-game gauntlet, and it was those 5 games.
Right.
I think 8.5, I would take the over. If it was 9.5, I would have a lot more trepidation about it because I think they're a 9-10 win team. That's why 9.5 would be so tough. And I was thinking about this over the weekend. So the Cowboys, this is really fascinating because the New York Giants and Washington Redskins have both had their over-under set at 6. So you got two crappy teams. That's 4 games right there. Let's say you win 3 of them, right? You know, it's hard to sweep both of them. Let's say you win 3 of those, right? Let's say you split this series with the Eagles. There's 4 wins right there just from your division. You get to play the AFC East in 2019. The Patriots, okay, whatever, you're going to lose that game. But outside of that, that's 3 wins, right? So right there, you're sitting on 7 wins easy. You're playing the NFC North this season. The Detroit Lions scare you, Tony? No. I mean, you're playing the Minnesota Vikings? Cool. I mean, Kirk Cousins? I mean, I think 9 wins is a floor of sorts. If they had below 8 wins, I feel like it would be a categorical failure.
Well, I think they can get 4 wins in the first half and 4 in the back half. And I think even more than that. And again, you look at their schedule, I think it's a little bit more friendlier next year than it was last year. But look what they did. Again, they had 5 wins. Mm-hmm. And when we thought that, you know, we already had them buried with no chance to, you know, to make the playoffs. And they proved everyone wrong. So I'm just going to – and I think that's – you made up a good point about the difficulty of the NFC East. Look at the Giants. I mean, right now we know that, they're not going to be that good.
We can say it. They suck.
Yeah, so we're not going to count them in the mix. And then the Redskins – I don't know about the Redskins, considering the things that have happened to them. And, you know, they're kind of this bipolar type of team and up and down. And so I think you have to look at it that way. You got to look at the factor in what the strength of the division. I think next year the Cowboys and the Eagles are the two teams that will battle it out for the NFC title.
I think so. I mean, you're in a division. If you're the Cowboys, you should thank and count your lucky stars, because you have 4 games against Eli Manning and Case Keenum. You know, I mean, if you can't ride that wave in a positive direction, I mean, you know.
That's so wild to think where Case Keenum's been over the last 3 years.
Seriously.
He goes to Minnesota, and then he goes to Arizona. No, he goes to Denver. And then now he's back in Washington. Crazy.
Oh, I mean, that dude, I remember, I think it was the 2013 season when he was still on the Texans, and they had that amazing first half of that Sunday night game against the Colts, and that was, unfortunately, that was the night that Gary Kubiak fell and had to be taken out of the game, and then the Colts just came back and wrecked them in the second half and won that game, and ever since then, you're right, I mean, he went to the Rams, you know, he was on that.
I mean, is there a team he hasn't been on in the National Football League?
The Cowboys.
So, excuse me.
Good for Case. So we'll see what happens against him. Tony, you and I will be back later this week, for another edition of the 750. Good luck with the allergies. You taking, you know, what, like 6-7 different medications?
Yeah, I've been taking I'm actually better. I mean, Friday was really, really bad, and Saturday was even worse. And actually, I'm much better. Apologize for not hitting the cough button on my microphone.
Nah, don't worry about it. Bundle up, put some socks on, a hoodie, get a bowl of chili. That's Dr. RJ's orders.
I will.
So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back later this week. This was the 750.